asked you this morning, do you recognize this man? He's a very famous man. I'll give you a clue. He's American. He's a linguist. He's a philosopher. He's a historian. He's an activist. He's written over 100 books. He's a professor. He's been professor for 50 years at MIT. Anyone know who he is? Phil. Well done, Chomsky. Now, the reason why I've got a picture of this chap up here this morning is he's notable. He's famous, and the reason why he's famous is that he is the most quoted living person. In other words, that what he says, what he's written, is quoted by more people than anyone else in the world. That means that what he says must be important. The things that he has written and he's said are noteworthy, so noteworthy that other people quote him more than anybody else. If you put him together with all the people that have lived through history, then he drops to a very creditable eighth behind Aristotle, Marx, Lenin, Shakespeare, Plato. In other words, he's amongst the giants. And the words that he says are words that people take note of. Now, for us as followers of Christ, of course, it's the words of God himself speaking through the pages of the Bible that are far, far more important than anything these intellectual giants might say. Famous people have their wisdom, they have their insights, makes them worthy of quoting. But the words of God are far, far more important and significant to us. Because God's words are spiritual words, they've got power to change, power to get in our lives and to change our lives. God's words are completely true. They speak of the realities of life. And God's words talk of things that really matter. They speak of things of eternity. And so turning to the book of Romans this morning, the Apostle Paul writes this about the Old Testament. He was talking specifically about the Old Testament. He was saying that everything that was written in the past, the things that have been written in the Old Testament, are written there to teach us. I know some of us find it hard, the Old Testament hard to understand. But actually, the Old Testament is there written, and of course all of Scripture is written, that we could learn, that there's things that we could take to our lives that will make a difference or make an impact to us. Paul continues to the Corinthians, and he talks about the things that we read about what happened to the people of Israel in the past. And he says this in 1 Corinthians, verse 10, chapter 10. He says, these things happened to them, to the people that we read about in the Old Testament, to serve as examples for us. In other words, there's something really beneficial and important about looking back in the Bible, studying it, looking what happens. And we started a few weeks ago looking at the life of a great king. We looked at the life of Solomon, someone whose life is quite extensively detailed in the Old Testament, that we could learn something, that we could be taught. And we've started, we're going to continue, that we could learn something. God, what would you say to us through what happened to him? I feel that God has some things over these coming weeks that God would impress upon us and would change us and challenge us as we look at the life of King Solomon. Let's pray and ask for God to help us. Heavenly Father, thank you. Lord, we're your people. We're your people that are gathered here to listen to you. And we submit our hearts, we submit our minds, we submit our lives, Holy Spirit, to all that you would say to each one of us. God, we humble ourselves before you today. Jesus, would you come and speak fresh into every one of our hearts? Amen. I want to start this morning. I've asked Elaine to come and share something of what God's doing in her life. It's wonderful to hear what God's doing in anyone's life, but it acts as a brilliant introduction to what we're going to talk about today. So give Elaine a warm round. Come on down.
Hi there. as you know, since September, I've been doing a course, and a couple of weeks ago, I told you just how difficult it had been and how I was preparing for an exam. I mean, what I didn't tell you was how I got to that point for preparing for my exam. There was a lot of information, and it was overwhelming, and there were hundreds and hundreds of pages. And the back room looks like a big tip, okay? There were papers everywhere. And I just set them out every night when I was revising. And I started by saying, God, you know, I'm really overwhelmed by this task. I was really honest with him. You know, in the natural, it was just not impossible. And I actually wrote some verses down on this little bit of paper that I carried with me, and I read them each night before I studied. And there was one verse in particular that really spoke volumes, and I kept repeating it over and over again. And it says, God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. And I thought, this is exactly what I need. You know, in all things, at all times, having all that you need, and in every good work. And I said to God, look, you are this work. You're in front of me. There is nothing in me that, you know, wants to revise. I don't have the ability to do it. You know, all I want to do really is sit and watch the telly. You please, you've got to give me the ability to study and to just look at the bits that I really, really, really need. You know, when you've got 200-300 pages, it's daunting. And I couldn't understand the vast majority of it, okay? It's written in a language that is really scientific, and I'll probably never, ever understand it. And I said, God, just skim over those bits. Don't let me look at those bits if it's not what you want me to do, you know. So I kept looking at certain bits and certain bits. Not that it was going in, it wasn't, but you know, in his amazing ability, the bits that I needed were going in. Now, equally, there's people in the church, in my home group, that I bored to death. Okay, if they heard one more thing about this exam, they might have strangled me. But you know what? They were praying for me. They were praying for the time that I studied. I got everybody involved. And I texted people a couple of days before the exam. And I said, look, this is happening. Can you please pray for me between, it was something like 10 and 11. Yeah, 10 and 11. And, you know, I really felt hugely supported by their prayers, by their kindness. You know, I felt that I wasn't doing this exam alone, that there were many behind me. And it was just amazing, you know, and God was behind me. Because I'm just a mere mortal, I'm weak. You know, that as I say, there wasn't anything within me that wanted to do this study. And I found it hugely challenging. You know, I felt really weak throughout the whole process. And, you know, God strengthened me. And, you know, of an evening when I was praying, I just said, God, I can't do anything in my own, you know, in my own ability. You know, I can't learn this. I can't remember it. You know, you've got to make things simple for me and really highlight the bits that I need. You know, and amazingly, God has actually done that. He got me to the exam. He made me really peaceful. He, you know, even though I didn't feel I knew anything, you know, I was able to do what the paper wanted me to do. And, you know, I said that the results were going to be out in 6 weeks. Well, they came ahead of time, and I passed. As you know, the pass mark was really high. It was 80%. So I got 80%. What a miracle. So, you know, I just want to encourage anybody, really, you know, whatever you're going through, God has the answers. He knows your abilities. He knows your weaknesses. But he can work with all of that. You know, he's done such a, you know, an amazing achievement in my life. It's not quite finished, but we're halfway there. And that's just astonishing. You know, prayer really does open the heavens. It opens up God's ability to work in you through your weaknesses. We're all weak. And so be encouraged.
Fantastic, fantastic. What if I can ask you this morning, what's been the most important moment in your life so far? Maybe there's been many important. For Elaine, this may not have been the most important. It was certainly a significant moment. And this exam that Elaine went to take was a significant time. It was important for her. It was important for her job. It was important for her work that she's doing. And there's important moments for all of us. Maybe it's getting exam results. Maybe it's getting a new job. Maybe it's having children. Maybe it's marrying someone. Maybe it's moving to a new place. For all of us this morning, of course, the number one most important thing moment in our life is when we ask Jesus to come into our life and make a difference. But there may be several things you can think of this morning that were key moments, important moments, maybe times you passed an exam like Elaine, time that something happened that was a key watershed, a pivotal moment. And this morning we're going to look at a pivotal moment in Solomon's life. One of those watersheds that drastically affected the rest of his life. It's important because what he did at that key moment had reverberations for the rest of his life. What turns one of the many moments in your life into an important one is the consequences that follow from that moment. See, deciding to move house or change job may trigger a whole series of events in your life that set your life on a different course from where it was heading before. Certainly getting married or having children definitely set your life in a different direction. But of course, there are many other important decisions, many other important events and things that happen in our life that seem small at the time, but nevertheless, what happens after that, the significance of them becomes clear. They were watershed moments. They were key change moments where what you did at that time affected the rest of your life. There was a moment for Solomon where he was faced with a choice. He did something very important at that moment. He prayed, but the significance I want us to look at today is what he prayed at that moment. What he prayed set his life on a course that was remarkably blessed by God and used by God. And that's why his prayer, I believe, is significant for us today. Because I know it's your desire, it's my desire to be blessed by God. It's your desire to be used by God. Otherwise, you wouldn't be sitting here today. Now, Solomon could have prayed many different things, but he prayed the prayer that had a massive implications on the rest of his life. And the talk I want to talk about, the title for this morning's talk, is One Prayer Can Change Your Life. One prayer can change your life. Solomon's prayer is recorded for us in 1 Kings 3. And the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night, and God said this amazing thing. God said, "Ask for whatever you want me to give you." What an incredible offer from God, that God came to him and said, I'll give you whatever you want. Verse 6 of 1 Kings 3, Solomon answered this, "You've shown great kindness to your servant, my father David, because he was faithful to you and righteous and upright in heart. You have continued this great kindness to him and have given him a son to sit on his throne this very day. Now, Lord my God, you've made your servant king in place of my father David, but I'm only a little child. I don't know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people you've chosen, a great people, too numerous to count or number. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours?" Now, this great prayer of Solomon was a game changer. Solomon's life before he prayed, he was walking with God. He was getting on with his work as king. He even built this magnificent temple for the Lord. David had wanted to build it, but Solomon was the one that actually got to build it. Everything was good. But after he prayed this prayer, everything changed in his life. He rose to become the greatest king at that time in Nehemiah 13:26. Talking about Solomon, we read, "Among the nations, there was no king like him," like Solomon. Solomon rose to become the greatest king at that time. God gave him incredible wisdom. He prayed for wisdom. God gave it to him. In 1 Kings 4:32, Solomon spoke 3,000 proverbs. His songs numbered 1,005. He spoke about plant life. He spoke about animals, birds, reptiles, and fish. He had such wisdom that the Queen of Sheba famously visited him, 1,500-mile journey. When she came in 1 Kings 10, she came to Solomon and talked with him about all that was on her mind. Listen to this. Solomon answered all her questions. Nothing was too hard for the king to explain to her. God gave King Solomon such wisdom. Nothing was too hard for him to answer. Solomon had astounding material blessing more than any other king. In 1 Kings 10:23, it said King Solomon was greater. He was greater in riches and wisdom than all the other kings of the earth. Incredible blessing. 1 Kings 4:31, his fame spread all around the surrounding nations. King Solomon had this revelation from God. He was given the privilege of actually writing scripture, being inspired by the Holy Spirit. He wrote the book, of course, of Proverbs and Ecclesiastes and Songs of Songs. Amazing privilege. He was given great military strength. In 1 Kings 10:26, Solomon had chariots and horses, 1,400 chariots, 12,000 horses. He kept them in special chariot cities and also with him in Jerusalem. He was had tremendous military success and strength. Solomon was enabled to do all that God had planned him to do. As we saw last time, looking at Solomon, he had the most spiritual blessing, the most material success, the most success in the work of God, the most wisdom from God. In fact, the word most sums up Solomon's life after this prayer. Now, God could have given Solomon all this wisdom and success and blessing without him praying. But then that would have meant no honor and no credit to God. It would have seemed like Solomon was a great king, a powerful king, because of his own ability, because of his own intelligence, his own skill, his own brilliance. But God wants to use your life. God wants to bless your life, but he wants the honor and glory to go to him. God wants to take my life, take your life, bless our lives, work through our lives and in our lives, but he wants people not to say, wow, isn't Paul a fantastic, amazing, gifted, talented, intelligent person? But actually to say, wow, isn't his God an amazing, wonderful, awesome God? And so God wants us to pray. God wants us to pray. Because prayer is where we come before God and we get the things out on the table, as Elaine was doing so graphically. Get things out on the table with God, and we're very clear where the priorities are and where the power is coming from. So we're going to look today briefly at Solomon's prayer. What did he pray? Well, first in 1 Kings 3 verse 6, we see that he acknowledged something that God had done in the past. In 1 Kings 3:6, you've shown great kindness to your servant, my father David. You see, as we come to pray, it's important as we start that we acknowledge, God, you have done things in my life. God, you have done fantastic things. That we acknowledge and recognize, God, you've been so kind to me. If it wasn't for your mercy, I wouldn't have got this far. If it wasn't for your kindness, these things in my life wouldn't have happened. If it wasn't for your daily mercies towards me, I wouldn't even be where I am today. That's how he started. Starting to pray right is important. Secondly, Solomon remembered that God had answered prayer in the past. Continuing verse 6, Solomon answered to God. He says, you've given David a son to sit on his throne. See, God promised David that his son would become king. And Solomon remembers this promise has been fulfilled. He says, God, the promise that you made has been fulfilled. He's thanking God for what he's done, that God promised and it's been fulfilled. See, our faith rises as we remember what God's done in the past. Our faith rises as we think, God, thank you for what you did in my life last week, last month, last year. A week ago, I woke up on Sunday morning, I had a terrible migraine. Barbara prayed for me, and that migraine left immediately and completely didn't come back. And it's so easy to forget that, God, you did a wonderful thing last week, because it was last week. And yet, as we come to God, God wants us to remember the blessings. God wants us to remember what he has done in the past, how he's been faithful, how he's answered our prayer. So our faith rises as we remember, God, look what you've done in the past. Thank you so much for what you've done. Before we're praying about the future or the today, we're thanking God for what he's done in the past. Thirdly, in 1 Kings 3 verse 7, he acknowledged that, God, you have brought me this far. It says, you've made your servant king in place of my father David. So if we come to God thinking it's our own efforts, or asking God, God, could you give me a little bit extra help to bless my plans? God, these are my plans. Would you just give me a bit of extra blessing and that would be fantastic? No, we're saying, God, anything good I've received is from you. I love James 1 verse 17. In the book of James, he says this wonderful little phrase, every good and perfect gift is from above. Whatever you have got in your life that's good, whatever you could say, this is good and this is good and this is good, everything has come down from God above. And so I've got to acknowledge that, rather than think, didn't I do well? Rather than think, wow, I really came through good on that one. Actually, everything good I've received actually from heaven, from God. God has given me the breath to be able to live. God's given me the strength to do it. God's given Elaine the intelligence to pass that exam. Whatever it is, God gives us what we need. And we've got to bring that to God and acknowledge that. And say, God, thank you. Thank you. It's all you. It's all down to you. Fourthly, he was humble about his own ability. In 1 Kings 3, 7, he says this, I'm only a little child. He wasn't saying, I'm some great king, I built a temple. God, have you seen the temple I've built for you? It's awesome. Look at it, it's the biggest and best ever. No, he says, I am only a little child. I don't know how to do what you've called me to do. See, he was recognizing his need before God. Crucial. It's what struck me in what Elaine was saying, recognizing my need before God. But fifthly, he asks for the right thing. And the punchline of this morning talk is, there are times in our lives when we pray, it's important that we pray the right prayer. It's important we ask for the right thing. Look what happened in 1 Kings 3 verse 9. He says, give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and distinguish right from wrong. God gave him the opportunity to ask for anything. God's never done that to me. What an incredible opportunity he had. There was God came to him and said, ask for anything. And he asked that God would give him the ability to do what God was calling him to do. What an amazing thing to ask. And he asked for that wisdom. Of course, in response to Solomon's prayer, God grants him his request and commends him. Look at 1 Kings 3. God said to him this, 1 Kings 3:11. Since you've asked for this and you've not asked for long life or wealth or asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment in administering justice, I will do what you asked. See, Solomon didn't pray for three things. He didn't pray for himself. He didn't pray for long life. Now, there's nothing wrong, of course, with praying for life and health. Of course not. Philippians 4 verse 6 says, pray about everything. Of course, praying, God, would you give me health and would you work in my life? Of course, that's fantastic. And I love the prayer in 3 John 1, 2. I love 3 John 1, 2, where John says, I pray you may enjoy good health. It's a fantastic prayer to pray for yourself and to go around praying for each other, because we can pray, God, I pray that I would enjoy good health. It's in the Bible. It's where I can pray it. But this is the point. There are times where actually there are more important prayers to pray. He didn't ask for wealth. Now, there's nothing wrong saying, God, would you bless my finances? God, I commit my finances to you. Would you come and bless? Absolutely. But sometimes there are more significant prayers to pray. He didn't pray for his enemies to be defeated. But Jesus taught us to pray, deliver us from the evil one. Lead us not into temptation. And actually, of course, it's good to pray those things. But sometimes there are more crucial prayers to be prayed. These are things he could have asked for himself, but instead he asked for the ability to do the things that God had called him to. And when God wanted to use him, Solomon's heart was ready to respond in the way God wanted him to. See, at the moment of opportunity, he prayed the right thing. He could have prayed other things, but he prayed what made the most difference. And there are times when we have to pray the right prayer. NK, come on down and tell us your story about what God's been doing in your life recently. Let's give her a warm, let's encourage her.
Praise God. You may have heard a bit of this testimony, but I figured when God starts something, he usually brings it to completion. Towards the end of last year, I was so miserable, especially at work. A new company took over, and with it came with a new manager, and this manager just took so much hatred. It didn't matter what I did, it wasn't good enough. She planned to demote me and everything, and I was just so miserable. I was disciplined the left, right, and center for the slightest of things. But God had a plan, and he's a faithful God. I spoke to a few people in church about it, and they were praying for me. And I happened to speak to Paul about it, and Paul said, okay, we won't talk about it here. Let's, you know, come to your house and we talk about it and explain what was going on. And he encouraged me. He said, look, you have every right to be angry at what this woman is doing to you. But in your heart, you have to forgive her. You have to let go. And it was so painful to let go. I thought, no, I've got a plan. You know, I've got a revenge. But then I realized, you know, victory is sweet when you let God fight our battles. Ephesians 6 says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against spiritual darkness in the heavenlies. So what I need to do is just let God vindicate me, let God fight my battles rather than the plans I have. I started to plan to leave. I said, Lord, I can't. There's only so much one person can take. I can't take this anymore. Within what's happening at work, everything else is happening. My son was sick. My husband doesn't have a job. This was happening. That was happening. And I was so, so miserable. I said, Lord, there's so much one person can take. I can't take this anymore. I've got to leave my job. I started to look for a job, but that wasn't happening. But God had a plan. A master plan, because he's the Alpha and he's the beginning. He knows this will happen. He knows the beginning from the end, so he knows how to sort this. Anyway, I had a few weeks off work and thought, okay, let me just have a break. I had a break and went back. I stood here and I gave you a testimony because I took my manager to grievance proceedings, and some of the things I complained about, they acknowledged, and some of the things they didn't acknowledge, saying that I didn't have a supportive evidence. God had a plan. Anyway, I left it, and I gave a testimony as that is working on my behalf. And when I went back to work, the manager called me into her office, and she said to me, she said, are you back? Sarcastically, she said, and laughed, and said, yes. She said, I didn't know you were coming back. And I thought, how do I take that? Does that mean that she wasn't expecting me back, or she didn't know I was coming back this day? Anyway, I went downstairs to put my things away. Lo and behold, the locker that was assigned to me where I put my stuff away has been cleared, has been emptied, all my stuff gone. And I wonder, then it dawned on me what she said to me, I didn't know you were coming back. I understood what she meant by that, because before then it was like, which one? Is it that she didn't realize I was coming back today, or that she didn't know I was coming back at all? But when I went downstairs and saw my locker cleared, it just dawned on me what she meant, but she didn't realize I was coming back. Anyway, and that was that. And before, what she did was she would say things to me where nobody else was listening. It was just the two of us. And it was a case of my word against hers. But when I went back, things began to change. She began to say things and do things in the presence of witnesses, so people can see and, you know, hear what she's doing and what she's saying. Anyway, it was just too much. And I came back from work that day and I spoke to my friend. I said, look, I can't take this anymore. I really cannot take this. This woman is breaking me down, and it feels like he's succeeding. And I thought to myself, but hang on a second. I stood before the church and I testified of the goodness of God. And it just dawned on me, no, you can't do this. She's not allowed to do what she's doing to you. And God is a faithful God. God does not lie. He started something and he'll bring it to completion. Anyway, that was it, and I left it. Few days later, because in my heart, I was still a plan to leave. And, you know, I was just, every day, even though I was planning to leave, I was just praying, Lord, just give me the energy and the strength and the wisdom to get through this, because I need to get through this. and praying for her, for, you know, for God to help me not to hold it against her, not to be bitter regarding what she's doing to me. A few days later, after I'd gone back to work, and one of the staff members said to me, did you know the manager is leaving? I said, why? She said, oh, I don't know. And it dawned on me, I said, Lord, you're just so amazing. So amazing. You know, when we cry out to God, in our secret places, we cry out to God, he sees the tears, even when nobody else can see it. Because I cried myself to sleep most nights because of this, what this woman is doing to me. I was so miserable. I was taken out on my family, and it was just wasn't nice at all. But God saw my cry, saw the tears. I cried out to God every night. I said, Lord, help me. I can't do this on my own. I can't take this anymore. And God heard. I don't know why she left, but for me, that's a vindication of what this woman has been doing to me. And just God has vindicated me and said, look, I heard your cries and I've seen the tears, and this is my answer to your problem. Praise God.
Thank you, NK. Fantastic. Think about it. NK prayed at the crucial moment. NK prayed the right prayer. It was a prayer of forgiveness. It was a prayer to release rather than revenge and getting even. It was a prayer releasing and forgiving and blessing. And it's so important at these crucial watershed times in our lives to pray the right prayer. Solomon prayed the right prayer. Years ago, when I arrived in London, I came to London to work. I had no job. I had a job. I had no family. I had no friends. I had no church. And I was staying in a hostel. And there was no Christians around me at all. And I felt my heart backslide. And I was alone in my room, and I just felt God drew me to pray this prayer in Psalm 62, which is this prayer with saying, God, you alone are my rock and salvation. You're my fortress. I shall never be shaken. I can remember that point so clearly because God gave me the grace to pray the right prayer that set my heart, rather than backsliding, get my heart back to find a church, to get plugged into God's purposes and what God was doing. And praying the right thing at these watershed moments is so key. I know that for me, there's times where I've been very confused. Things haven't worked out the way I've wanted. I've wanted something to work out, and it's not. And I've been confused, I've been hurt, I've been down. And at those points, God's led me to the prayer of Job in Job 1:21. The lovely prayer of Job where it says, where he prayed, the Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Sometimes we can't work out, has the devil done this? Has God taken it out of my life? Is this God wanting to speak to me? I just don't know. There's just so much about a situation I just don't understand, but I feel let down. I feel things have not worked out. At that moment, I can either pray, why God? I could try to blame God. I could turn my back on God. Or I could come before God with the prayer of Job and saying, God, the Lord you give, Lord you take away. But as long as your name is praised, as long as your name gets credit, as long as your name gets honor, you can give my life and you can take away from my life. As long as you get the honor. That's the right prayer to pray when you're in a situation of loss. That's the prayer to pray when you don't understand, when you're hurt and you're down and you're not sure, what should I do? What should I pray? The thing is that God wants us to learn as Solomon had learned to pray. We've only got two prayers of Solomon recorded in the Bible. And those two prayers are model prayers in many ways. And we know they're good prayers because as soon as he prayed them, God answered dramatically. God answered specifically. God answered in incredible kind of ways. And we know, therefore, that Solomon had learned to pray beforehand. Of course, he had Nathan the prophet. Nathan the prophet was a friend, counselor, and spiritual trainer to David and to Bathsheba and to Solomon. And he had someone helping him learn how to pray. So Solomon's prayer, we've looked at today, isn't a one-prayer wonder. Actually, what happened is before that, he'd learned to pray. So when that moment of important choice came, he knew the right prayer to pray. Not that it's a formula, not that it's about praying something, a kind of a formulaic thing, but in his heart, he knew the priority was to honor God, not just looking at his own needs, his own situation and himself and what his wealth, his life, things that happened to him, but actually what would honor God. And there was no one prayer wonder. It was the result of knowing how to pray. The wonderful thing is we have, of course, the Holy Spirit teaching us through the Bible what to pray. Nick's been encouraging us to read the Bible. And one aspect of studying the Bible is as we study the prayers in the Bible, we learn how to pray. Now, obviously, we learn how to pray by praying. We say, God, would you teach me? And we just start praying. We don't sit there waiting to learn to pray. I get praying, and as it's one of the things we learn on the job. But also, God's given us in Scripture these wonderful prayers that teach us the priorities of how to pray. So when we come to situations of crisis and difficult situations of watershed, where it could be one for that, we know what to pray in those situations. I want to encourage us today in terms of studying the prayers in the Bible. Studying this prayer of Solomon, studying the other prayers in the Bible, where we see them written down. See, there are some of us this morning here, and today isn't a particular time of crisis. It isn't a particular time of opportunity. It's just one of those normal days. Now is the opportunity for us to learn to pray. Now is the opportunity for us to study the prayers in the Bible, that we could be taught by the Holy Spirit how to pray. So that when the moment of crisis, when the moment of opportunity, when the moment comes that's a watershed and my life could go one way or the other, I know how to pray the right prayer. That one prayer would change my life. If this morning you are at a watershed, there's a choice, do I go this way or this way? There's a crisis, there's a difficulty, there's something you're not quite sure. Then today you can cry out to God. God, would you teach me? Would you show me? Would you lead me? How can I pray right in this circumstance? Holy Spirit, would you lead me and show me? How can I pray the right prayer in this situation, this circumstance? Because we need to pray the right prayer. Let's close our eyes for a moment. Thank you, Lord. Just want to encourage you today just to talk to the Holy Spirit, to talk to God in the quietness that we've got together this morning. Jesus, thank you, Lord. Father, thank you for Elaine's testimony, NK's testimony, Lord, how they prayed the right prayer at times of struggle, times of difficulty, times of opportunity, Lord, you've taught them to pray the right prayer. Thank you. You are teaching us, Holy Spirit. And we want, as your people here today, to say, Lord, would you teach us to pray the things that you want us to pray, according to your will, according to your pattern for our lives, Lord. Holy Spirit, would you lead us to the prayers in the Bible for us to study and learn and be taught by you. That, Lord, we could be better at praying. Lord, that I could be better at praying. Thank you for the example we've seen this morning of Solomon and how you answered so dramatically and clearly when he prayed, Lord. Thank you that he had learnt to pray. We want to ask as a church, Holy Spirit, would you teach us to pray? I know that for some of us this morning, we face an opportunity. There's a potential choice. Or there's a crisis and we've got to respond. Or there's a difficulty and we don't know the way forward. For some of us, we're at a watershed. Things could go one way or the other and it will have implications for our life. This morning, we can cry out to God. God, would you help me pray the right prayer? There's a lovely verse in 1 Samuel 2:30 where God says, I will honour those who honour me. And so it's always right when we pray to put God right at the centre, seek his honour, seek his will, seek his way. I want to ask this morning, if you're facing a choice, a challenge, a difficulty, to bring it before the Lord today in your heart. Even say, God, would you get the credit in this situation? Would you get the honor in this situation? Would your name receive praise in this situation, Lord? Holy Spirit, I invite you this morning, would you please move amongst us in great power to touch and to change, to help. Draw alongside, please, Holy Spirit, the helper. Would you come and help me? Would you come and help each of us, oh God? Would you just put your hand on the person next to you, on their shoulder? And would you pray for strength for them? Would you just put your hand upon them? For my brother, for my sister, this morning, would you say, God, would you come today and would you strengthen? Help my brother, help my sister to know the right prayer to pray. Help them to put you right in the center of this situation in their life. Pray for your working, O Lord, in each other.